Morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. I'm happy to be here and enjoying this beautiful day. Maybe the return to some summer weather, huh? Been a little cold the last few days. Our prayer concerns, there's several listed there, our thoughts and prayers. Please remember all of these folks in your prayers. We're hoping for healing for everyone. Two in particular, our pastor. We know she's ill and not in the hospital as far as we know at this point. So please remember her and Jim. And also our friend Carrie Gentry. He's healing up. Everybody knows from that infection in his knee, but he still has a long way to go. Cards and phone calls and even a visit. If you do want to stop out and see Carrie and Linda, just give them a call and ask them, you know, if it's okay to come out. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. Thanksgivings. Anybody have any God moments at all? Okay. Well, I think a Thanksgiving is just that it's a beautiful day and we're all here free to worship the Lord. Announcements. If you look on the back of your bulletin, we do have our church garage sale going on Wednesday through Saturday, July 21st to the 24th. Bring your items in now to the church office during the church hours, office hours, or contact Gayla Eagle, her number's listed, to schedule a drop-off time. And, of course, helpers are always needed, so all hands are welcome and appreciated. The August newsletter deadline is this Friday, coming up on the 23rd. Submit your items today to avoid a last-minute rush. Our upcoming pop-up food pantries, Thursday, July 29th at 3:30, is in Brown City at Kohler Propane. Saturday, July 31st, 9 a.m., the Marlette VFW Hall. Softball games this week. Come on out and cheer on our team as they face the Lutherans on July 19th, which is tomorrow, at the Countryside, and then open door on July 22nd at Door Field. Games start at 7, and the full schedule for all this is in the July newsletter. Fellowship and children Bible lessons will happen every Sunday in July, beginning at 10:30 prior to worship. Coffee is served for the adults to enjoy while the children gather in the grassy area outside for a fun Bible lesson and activity. Following fellowship time, please join us for worship indoors or outdoors. And this is really nice. Free hearing screenings will be held here on Tuesday, July the 20th from 9 to noon. No appointment necessary, and these are courtesy of our Angela Lasecki. Thank you, Angela. Okay, birthdays this week. No one wants to volunteer, it seems like, so we know who you are, birthday people. July 18th, Margaret Patterson, also John Darling. On July 20th, Darlene Ross and Helen Shin. July 21st is Connie Brashinsky and Craig Faust. So let's all sing. Okay, to each and every one, a very, very happy birthday. We don't have any anniversaries this week, but there's some coming up later in July. This is a beautiful month, and it's quite a busy month. We have some upcoming meetings also. The Finance Committee will be meeting July 27th at 5:30. Church Council also Tuesday, July 27th at 7 o'clock. Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, we have our Thursdays at 10 group. I'm a member, and several of the ladies here are, and we welcome gentlemen, too. Okay, so if any of you guys are secret knitters or crocheters, please come and join us. Rosemary always has coffee and a wonderful array of cookies and little treats for us, and it's just a fun time. We provide the prayer shawls for our prayer shawl ministry, and lately we've gotten into something new, hats, gloves, and mittens for the elementary school. So we have a member, Mary Jane Johnson, that's got just a huge array of hats that she's made and donated. So, you know, whatever you want to bring is fine. And if you don't do any knitting, crocheting, embroidery, if you just want to come for a fun time and some fellowship, please do join us. We'd appreciate it very much. Our trustees will be meeting on August 3rd at 6:30. So, and I think that that is it for announcements and so on. Anyone have any additional information for anything? No? Oh, here comes Karen. Oh, boy.
She's over at the U of M in rehab. She is a transplant patient. She's had a transplant of kidney and pancreas. So they want her close to her doctors in Ann Arbor, so that they are bringing up. They have surgery, but we don't know when.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She's okay.
Well, I can include my sister, who could be a twin. My sister Eva, who lives in Florida. She is also a registered nurse. She got her foot tangled up in the cord of a blood pressure machine in a patient room, fell, and she's got a fractured right wrist and a fractured left kneecap. So she's laid up too. Good news for her, though, is they don't think they're going to have to do surgery. So, you know. Yeah. Okay. Good, good.
She is allowing her to just stand by her walker and just put her foot on the floor. She can put any pressure on.
Okay, very good.
She says the muscles, the tendons, and all that simply won't even bend.
Boy.
So she's looking forward to being okay.
Yeah, but that. Sure, sure. Oh, yes. Well, we will certainly keep her in prayer. Okay. Please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Be just a minute and we're going to be on the air. A little bit hard to coordinate everything right to the exact time. Well, you never know how long your list is going to be. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Would like to welcome our officiant this morning, Linda Schramm. She will be bringing us the message, and our message this morning is titled, God Moments. If the congregation would please stand for our praise songs, number 202, I Will Call Upon the Lord, and number 2058, Shepherd Me, O God. Shepherd Me, O God, number 2058. Please remain standing for our call to worship. We will be saying this in unison. It's printed in boldface type in our bulletin. Even when we come apart to worship and find respite from the troubles of the world, we will find among us those who stand in need of being ministered to. They are those for whom our touch and words of encouragement will provide the strength and healing they need. Come, let us worship together, and let us be sensitive to each other's needs.
Will you pray with me? O burning mountain, O chosen sun, O perfect moon, O fathomless well, wisdom without end, mercy without limit, O God, we leave our trust in you. Amen.
Amen. Our next hymn is number 381, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Just
And now we would like to have the children come forward for our children's message, and Linda Schramm will be giving that.
Yes, I'm outside.
Okay, some of our children are outside enjoying the nice weather, so we'll go ahead and we'll give them their message.
Okay, I'm staying here, but kids, I'm talking to you. I have the message for you. As Amy announced, it didn't get in the bulletin again this week, but my sermon title was, It's Dealing with God Moments. And for those of you who can think back during the years, the certain time when we talk about God moments, what we're expecting you as the congregation to do. And if I hold up some of these, does it remind you what we're expecting you and the congregation to do? You're to think of at least one God moment in that particular year and write it up for our devotional, our Lenten devotionals. Sound familiar? Hopefully it does. The God moments we'll be talking about will be from the writings the likes of you have done through these 25 years that we have done Lenten devotionals in this congregation. Isn't that astounding? And so the one I'm sharing for today comes from the 1998 Lenten devotional. And back in those days, we had to twist arms harder than we do nowadays to get our 40 devotionals we need from this congregation. And so sometimes we'd even reach out in unusual ways to get our pages filled. But as I look back, more than 20 years, this is one of those unusual ones we got that I think will speak to you today, especially for one of our recent college graduates who just received her doctorate. It came from the pre-primary Sunday school class, and Jenny Strickler was their teacher. The scripture was from Luke 18, verse 16. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. And Jenny writes, this little light of mine is the theme song for the pre-primary Sunday school class. And this is what little bright lights these 3 and 4 year old disciplelets of Christ are in my life. Jenny writes, it may be a blizzard outside, but they walk into the room. When they walk into the room, the whole place is filled with refreshing joy, laughter, and sunshine. They are so eager to learn and to express their joy and their love for Christ. I'd like to share with them what each replied when asked what God did for them. Remember, these are 3 and 4 year olds. Angela Lasecki, he gave me the baby Jesus. Lindsay Ball, he gave me a Christmas present, a new brother. I wonder if she also always appreciated that. Abby Huber, he had his son Jesus die for our sins. Katie Kruger, he gave me a warm house and food. Madeline Williams, he gave me Mom, Dad, and Mackenzie. Hannah Seaman, he gave me Lucy, Molly, Abby, Aaron, and Katie to love a lot. Emily Hale, he gave me Maddie to play with, and he's giving me a new baby when it gets warmer. Words of wisdom from those youngsters in our congregation more than 20 years ago who are now adults today. Their prayer, please, Father God, help us to receive your unconditional love, kindness, and joy as if we're young children again. Amen. And we all be children at heart.
Amen. And I agree, Linda. Those are words of wisdom that still fit us today. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 89, and it is verses 20 through 37. I have found David, my servant. With my sacred oil, I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not get the better of him. The wicked will not oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, "You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior." And I will appoint him to be my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once and for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
During our prayer time today, we are to remember the city of Sandusky as our community agency that's being prayed for today. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we come here today in fellowship with one another, setting aside this time solely for you, to offer you praise and worship, to hear you speak to us, and to leave here shaped a little bit more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we come here humbly. Before you, praying, Lord, in your mercy. Oh God, we thank you for the times this week when we smiled and laughed at times of friendship enjoyed, of meals shared, of those times when we appreciated the beauty of nature, when we felt a peace in our hearts, when we paused to be grateful for the life you have given us. For all of this and so much more, Lord, we know that we are blessed, and in gratitude and joy, we pray to you, Lord, in your mercy. For our days of difficulty and struggle, for the times when we have been less than our best, we give the thanks to you that you do not turn away from us and that we are never alone. The Bible tells us that when we confess our sins, you are gracious and just to forgive us in helping us start anew. And so we pause in silence now to personally confess our sins to you now. Lord, in your mercy. We lift to you our church. We wanted this to be a strong and vital church in our community. We want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. The need for hope, acceptance, love, and compassion is great, and you are the answer to those needs. Help us to show others the way to you through the programs we offer, through our ministries, and most of all, through our lives and the example we live in this community. Lord, in your mercy. And we lift to you our country and its leaders. We thank you for government employees that can go back to work and be paid. And we pray now for change. We pray that egos and power plays will be set aside and that wisdom, vision, and collaboration will prevail. You are sorely needed, and so, Lord, in your mercy, look for those who are sick, suffering, lonely, misguided, or just in need of feeling your presence. We ask that you would touch them with your healing, with your guidance, with your peace. You have those on our prayer list, but hear us now as a people in this congregation as we lift in our minds the names for who we have special prayers and ask your blessing on them. Lord, for the confidence and joy and hope we have because we walk daily with you, we give you thanks and praise in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And will you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Please be seated. Scripture today is not a gospel reading, but a reading from one of the epistles, Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you outsiders to God's ways had no idea of any of this. didn't know the first thing about the way God works, hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of the rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel, hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. And now, because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once out of it all together are in on everything. The word of God for the people of God. Well, this week, my husband and I thought we'd get away for a little bit. Some of the relatives from out of state were across state where he was raised. My husband is from Hart, Michigan, which, if you don't know where it is, it's on Interstate 31 between Muskegon and Ludington. It's where he was raised. Two of his three brothers still live there. Some of the brothers' daughters were in from out of state, so we kind of had a tag team of going across state and getting back whatever we had. Trina went over to have a day with the cousins. Nort and I didn't go to until Monday, knowing I had to come back on Wednesday because I had a date with my cardiologist on Thursday. So it was just kind of a back and forth all the time. And in the midst of sharing with sisters-in-laws, brother-in-laws, family, got a phone call. I don't get many phone calls on my cell phone, and even if I do, very often it's not on, so I still don't get them. But I did happen to have it on, and it rang while we were sitting around the table talking. So it was from Beth Mavis, and I thought, what does Beth call about? Didn't think of her role in the congregation. For those of you who don't know, she chairs Pastor Parish, and one of the roles that comes out of that community, that committee, is when the pastor's not going to be here, making sure that there is pulpit supply. So she asked me if I would be willing to fill the pulpit on Sunday again. Those of you who were here last Sunday, of course, know I was filling the pulpit last Sunday. Not knowing when I would have time to get the message together, even what I was going to talk about, I could feel the pressure in Beth's voice on, how do I do this? So I said, sure, I would do it. And she said, you will? I said, yeah, I'll do it again. God and I will figure out something. And so kind of put on the top front of end of my prayer list as we're still over there with family and then coming back on Wednesday or whatever. And just got this idea of God moments. Because I think for some of us, particularly those of us who have ever been involved in the Lenten devotional, trying to get people in the congregation not only to recognize God moments in their lives, we all have them, whether we want to admit it or not, but then to get them to write them and share them with the rest of the congregation, ooh, that's huge. But I didn't have to dig very deep before I found kind of a stack of Lenten devotionals which weren't with my big stack. I'll talk about that later. And so I got home and I started kind of outlining where I might want to go this morning with God moments. Gosh, there's been so many of them. I don't know how many of you, when you get your Lenten devotional, take it home. If you're like me, well, of course, I've helped put it together, so I've read them as they come in. But as they're all put together, the first thing I do is I sit and read them all through. How powerful they are. Anybody else do that? Read them all through at once? And then I keep it with my devotional things, and I read them day by day in the congregation. Because the idea of having this Lenten devotion is that each of us were sharing one another's God moments together on the same day. What a powerful message from God I get from those kinds of things. So as I started jotting down my notes, for a long time, some of us even couldn't even remember what year we got it started in. But Gayla finally nailed it down, and she gave me a Xerox copy of the first one that was done. 1995. Any of you keep them all in the same place, so I'll have them all together, so you could go back and find this one if you wanted? Mine's probably in a file somewhere, but I haven't been able to find mine, but I haven't cleaned out my files in a long time. So I was thrilled to have this particular one. So in 1995, the project begins. Oh, I forgot, we need to talk about the project. How did it start? Catherine Phillips, who's one of our snowbirds, attended at that time, probably still attends a church in Florida, but her church in Florida was a church that was doing Lenten devotionals, and she thought it would be a good thing for us to do this, didn't you? So she brought the idea. I asked her this morning who she gave it to. She says, oh, I don't know, probably Gayla. But some of you remember Gayla and Russ Shoemaker and Bev Shoemaker, kind of the early ones, I think, that started on this, along with our pastor, Mike Pringle, at that time. And so as the project begins, this is the first thing on the back they wrote about this project. And at that time, who would even dream that it would be going on 25 years later? But anyway, here's what it said on the back of the first booklet. To members and friends of Sandusky First United Methodist Church of Sandusky and Carsonville. I'd forgotten those few years that we were linked with Carsonville. But we were linked with them for a while. Wasn't really a two-point charge, but anyway, we were. And so it says, this devotional booklet is published for your use during the Lenten season. The devotions have been written with love and care by fellow members from your church family. They discover that it is not always easy to put down on paper the things they feel so others may understand the message they wish to express. They will be pleased if each of you finds the devotions beneficial during this Lenten season. We believe that the writers who labored hard and searched their souls will be blessed as you will be blessed. We believe that God's Spirit is truly at work in projects such as this. Our thanks go to each of the writers, to Gayla Eagle for typing the devotions, to Russ and Bev Shoemaker for technical assistance, to Catherine Phillips, who brought the idea to our church, and to Pastor Mike for his help and support throughout the project. And so it started in 1995 and went on to, I couldn't find my stash of books this quickly, and so went on to until the early 2000s, and somehow the project, rather than being a project of the congregation, had become a project that the pastor was heading up. And so about the last one that got put out, which might have been 2001, 2002, was really just a reprint of like guidepost articles and upper room articles. There weren't really many from the members of this congregation. And then it just kind of quit. And then there was good old Bev and Russ and Gayla. I don't know, somebody else was, they decided we needed to get this going. We needed to do it as a congregation, as the laity of the congregation, not a pastor-driven project. And so it got started again about 2005 or so. I don't know the exact year. Once I get my stash found and show it to you, I'd be able to tell you those. But on the spur of the moment, and I didn't really. So and one of the interesting things I found in this first one I was looking through, because, of course, I couldn't pick it up without reading it through and remembering people I forgot even went here, some of the people who had passed away. Got to the centerfold. If you look at the more recent ones, you don't see anything like this, do you? I'll read what it says on the printed page, but then we've got a blank page. And this probably basically comes from Gayla. But again, it was signed by Catherine Phillips, Bev Shoemaker, Russ Shoemaker, Gayla Eagle, and Reverend Mike Pringle. It says, this page left unintentionally blank with an exclamation point under it. And this sounds like Gayla's writing. So actually, this page is a mistake. In putting together this, our first Lenten booklet, we've learned a lot. One of the things we learned was that there are 40 days in Lent, but there are actually 46 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter. Aha! But there are actually the 46 days from Ash Wednesday to Wednesday, the six Sundays during Lenten period are not counted in the 40 days. I think of us doing the Lenten devotionals have pretty much know this now, but it was a learning experience for those doing this first one. We had asked for 40 Lent devotionals from our church people, but started putting the dates on the beginning with Ash Wednesday and Easter at the other end. So they started loading them up, going from front and back or whatever. And guess what? They got to the center and had extra pages. Well, we ended up with six more days than we had devotionals for, and this side of the page with nothing on it, no dates to go on it. We truly hope you will enjoy this booklet and glean everything you can from it. You'll probably agree that those days we had to use filler instead of our old devotionals, and so for some of the extra days, they had things from guideposts and a bookmark and just filler. So you will probably agree that those days where we had to use filler instead of our own devotionals are not as interesting, and that's true. So since we are already committed to doing another of these booklets next year, it has been suggested that you use this facing page right now to write down a devotional right now and give it to any of those listed below so that they will be better prepared next year. We wish you a very blessed Easter season. And I think we quite often suggest people write down some of their God moments, but I'm sure most people don't. And so when we start asking them about the 1st of January, everybody has to start scratching their heads and thinking for some. And then one of the last ones from this, and I told you I read this first one, one I wanted to read, written by Bob Stashek that first year. Does it surprise you it has to do with music? I'm sure it doesn't. It's called A New Song. His scripture passage was, "Sing a new song to the Lord." And this struck me because of some of the comments when we use some songs here that are more unfamiliar, like perhaps the first song we were singing, but I was hoping to not be leading and singing today when I'm leading and talking. So anyway, here's what Bob had to say, 1998. He said, "It was 5 years ago we received our new hymnals. Take a look at those hymnals in the pew. Do they look new anymore? A lot of them are getting a little time worn, even though we don't use them as often as we used to because of having the words projected." Bob was raised in Methodist churches in the Pontiac area, so he says, "I remember only two other Methodist hymnals, the 1936 edition, the dark blue cover, and the 1966 edition, that bright red cover. The media had kept us informed about the challenges of the 1989 edition, that one that's sitting there in your pews. Some of the ideas were, leave out Onward Christian Soldiers, it's too militant for this day and age. Change good Christian men to good Christian friends to be more sensitive. And if you look in the hymnal, it is. That's the way it is now. To include more ethnic songs from our brothers and sisters from around the world." And Bob continues, "We looked forward to our new hymnals and quickly looked for the familiar good old songs when they arrived. How we missed so many of the good old songs. Some of the new hymns were wonderful and others very challenging." Do you remember learning some of the new ones, which are sometimes now our newest one? Because somebody need a sister or not, I don't know. "All the old songs were new songs at once. New becomes old with familiarity. Challenges of our new hymnal was to experience these new hymns. We do this on Sunday mornings through our faith songs." We were doing that this morning, right? "But the old learn from the new, too." And Bob's prayer for that was, "Dear God, we praise you for the sound of our voices raised in song. How thankful we are for hymn writers, for the wonderful gift of music, and we thank you. Amen." Okay, so the people who were brave enough to write this first time, Mike Pringle, because he was pastor, had three things in, because the pastors usually do Ash Wednesday and Easter, and they can do another one of their own if they want to. Celine Nolan, Russ did two, Bev Shoemaker did one, Chad Shoemaker did one. Catherine Phillips did two that year. Julie Campbell was in her fourth year teaching here in Sandusky. Gladys Speck, Darlene Ross, Laura Pringle, the pastor's wife, did two. Ed and Mert Walton. Are some of you remembering some of those names from the past? Stan Fetting, Ron Payne, Ginny Huddington, Deb Darling, Sandy Dorr, Devon Buting did two, Julie Gordon did two. Devin George Lasecki did one, Virginia Ernst did one, Marilyn Dorr did one, Ginny Bissett did one, Deb Tank, Gayla Eagle, Marianne Bissett as a youth did one, Evelyn Pritchett, Pat Bradley, Dave Mykoff, Shar Stashik, I read Bob's, Bonnie Humphrey, and I did one that year. And then there were some of the fillers were from guideposts to get those extra Sunday, those extra pages done. Okay, so then 2010, I thought they had them all piled up. And always when we start the Lenten booklets, there's a little something from the group who puts them together. And this is from 2010. Lent includes the 40-day period, excluding Sundays from Ash Wednesday to Easter. The Bible tells us that Jesus spent 40 days alone with God in the wilderness in preparation for his public ministry. Today, Christians use this time to prepare ourselves for our own life's ministry by making Jesus' resurrection a regular part of our daily lives. It is a time for self-evaluation of our personal faith in God and his role in our lives. Our prayer is our congregation will take time during this Lenten season to be reading these devotionals so that we can all be on the same page at the same time as we continue our journey together in Easter. Thank you to all of you who have participated in the making of this booklet by sharing part of your relationship with God in our church with us. God is alive and well at SFUMC. And that year, Easter blessings were from Bev and Russ Shoemaker, Gayla Eagle, and by then I was helping get the process done. And I picked out some to read. I won't be able to read as many as I had anticipated, but I wanted to just share some that I thought were really, really very special. And this one is from 1998, so we hadn't been doing it very long. It was about the time when we were petering out. But to me, a very powerful one was written by Doug Mader. Remember when Doug Mader went here? He calls it blinded by the light. My glasses keep getting steamed up, so I don't know how I can see better with them or without them. It's called blinded by the night, light. His scripture passage comes from Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth. And this is a very special one because it describes his call to ministry. Because he left his church to go to 4 years of seminary at Asbury Seminary, and then was in the ministry in the conference probably about 15 years. It was a second career for Doug. But this is part of his call story. And it happened right back in that corner just past where Connie is sitting right now. Doug said, I had been away from God for many years when one Sunday I came to a service to see my girls sing in the cherub choir. And he was one of those that his girls came to Sunday school because Wanda Cook brought them to Sunday school because she was their child care provider during the week, and she saw that they got their Christian education too. So she would bring in the Sunday school, but she stayed and sang in the choir. The deal was Doug had to come and pick them up after Sunday school. But anyway, this particular Sunday, the girls were singing in choir. So Doug was worked in the probation office. He knew what it took to be a good parent, and that was being supportive of the kids. And so on Sundays when his wife Peggy couldn't come and support them when they sang, Doug came, and this was one of those Sundays. I came to a service to see my girls sing in the church choir. I did not intend to return to church after that day because I felt I would do my duty for my girls, and that would be it, being a good parent. An amazing thing happened to me during that service. God came to me and put his hand on my shoulder. I actually felt this on my shoulder, and tears began to flow from my eyes. I was not looking for God that day, but God was looking for me. I found that I belonged to him, and he was bringing me into a relationship that will never change. And so as now I reflect on that experience, much like the verse in Acts 2 through 5, when Paul was blinded by the light, but when he was healed, he could see and know that Jesus had called him into service for the Lord. So that was, to me, a powerful call story. Because in this congregation, it hasn't had a history of sending many people into ministry. But Doug was one. And I probably got to end this up, but 2024. So I got to get these out of order. 2020. Got to read this one, maybe as a closing. 2020, it's called Home. And it's one that Angela wrote for us a year ago of what this church has meant to her through the years. The first 18 years of my life, Sandusky, Michigan was home, and our church held a large part of my definition of home. When I went off to college in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, that was my home for 4 years. However, it never truly felt like home. I felt like I was home when I would come back to Sandusky on weekends and go to church on Sunday before heading back. Some of you remember all those Sundays that Angela would be here, not with her family, but just her, to see us and be part of this congregation again. What a commitment that is. Then when moving to Metro Detroit for grad school, the definition of home, location-wise, changed again. God has given me many amazing opportunities to change where home has been for me throughout all my life, and the wonderful people I've met along the way. However, one of the best things he has given me, and I'm sure everyone can agree, is a true home in our hometown church. Thank you, Angela. I was planning to lead with that before I finished with another one, having no idea you'd be in our midst today, and how powerful that is. God works in powerful ways. So I could go, I plan to go on longer, but I won't get there. So at this time, we'll have the ushers. They'll be cruising the side aisles to try and get the offering, and then we'll bring it up for the doxology. Thank you.
Before we, please stay standing and we'll sing the last hymn on 2202 in the Praise Hymn Book. Come away with me. Before you have the benediction, I'd like to say that every year, just before Lent would start, like about 2 weeks, Gayla would call me on the phone. Aren't you going to put a thing in the Lenten devotional, Catherine? I said I hadn't thought about it, but I put in one for years, so I think I'll skip this year. Oh, you can't do that. You must do one. So I'd sit down, have to think for a couple hours probably to think of what I was going to write. So please, when it comes Lent this year, write something. It isn't hard. All you have to do is sit down with a pen and pencil or on your computer and then write something and send it to Gayla on email or whatever you have in the house on the computer. Just do it. It's not hard.
Thank you, Catherine. We've gathered here this morning to worship God. We celebrated the love of Christ. As each of us searches for a meaningful faith, let us scatter to serve. Amen.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Still, will I stand? can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.